The Rockets will take on the Utah Jazz starting on Sunday night at Toyota Center. The Rockets falling to the 4 seed after an absolutely bizarre combination of games last night, with the Timberwolves blowing a lead to Denver and Portland coming back from 25 down to beat the Sacramento Kings. Utah and the Rockets, game one, Sunday night. Give me your early series prediction. I'm going to go Rockets in six. I think Utah's going to take a couple games off the Rockets. I think their defensive intensity with what they have with Rudy Gobert is going to be a problem. But ultimately, the Rockets are a better team. The Jazz can't hang with the scoring of the Rockets. There's going to be a math issue here with just how many threes the Rockets take. Rockets in six.
I predict that the Rockets will win in five. In their loss, they'll struggle from the three-point line because the Jazz are the best in the league at defending the three-point line. And I predict, I'm going to say one or two. I would say two Utah Jazz fans ejected for life for racial slurs. That's they're gonna, which is mildly, relatively restrained by Utah Jazz standards. Obviously, one of the most just ridiculously racist and awful crowds in NBA basketball, and they'll keep it relatively in check.
They do not represent their Mormon people very well. I'm going to say Rockets in four. I have no respect for the Utah Jazz. Sweep the leg. They are worthless. They don't belong in the playoffs. Nobody belongs in the playoffs. It's just the Rockets and the Warriors.
So even better than last year when the Rockets beat them in five.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. They are better now. Not really. I do feel confidently that it is four or it is five. I'm just going to continue my disrespect for the rest of the West.
I like beating the Jazz because Clint Capella gets to stick it to his former hero, Rudy Gobert. Does he even respect him anymore? Probably not.
I do like this matchup a lot. I feel safer playing Utah than I feel playing Oklahoma City, and I feel less fear than if I was playing San Antonio, where all that PTSD, the sports fan PTSD is going to kick in. So to recap, I go Rockets in six, Seth Rockets in five, Paul Rockets in four.
Yeah, Ocho, would I call Ocho a Rockets hater?
Yes.
Yeah, Rockets hater Ocho says, no XM, no problem, Rockets in five or less.
Okay. I may actually switch my pick now that I'm thinking about it more, but I got to stick to it
now. Yeah, why don't you stick with your theme? You're on brand this morning with being pessimistic about everything.
Including your own takes.
Yeah. Including, like, even when you're trying to be optimistic. Even when you're trying to be optimistic, you're being pessimistic. Like, acting like the Astros sweeping a banged-up Yankees squad was the most miraculous thing that ever happened.
Statement series. Up next in headlines, speaking of that statement series, the Astros did something last night they have never done in franchise history.
Now, Altuve, a home run. He's also popped up. And he drills one deep to left field. This is the Altuve show. Up on the train tracks. Train number 27 has just left Union Station at 4-2 Astros. Correa gets into one deep to left field and gone. Carlos Correa hits his second home run of the season. And the Astros now jump out in front 6-2 on the two-run shot.
Todd Callis on AT&T Sportsnet Southwest on those calls. Got a little dicey later, but Ryan Presley shut the door on the Yanks. 8-6, the final. First time the Astros have ever swept the Yankees. Is there any athlete in this city who does their job better, who gets less fanfare than Ryan Presley? That guy is awesome. He is an awesome, awesome reliever.
I got annoyed last night because you tweeted that out, and a lot of people agreed to you, but then there's also the guy that's got to show himself to be like, well, learned folks know. And but that's
the guy
exactly,
who pointed out that
exactly,
he's making 20
that's
million.
Exactly your point, though. Yeah. No, you got a few. I think Manny said something about you're following the wrong people. Yeah, somebody else pointed out that he is getting paid. But you can get paid with little fanfare.
Correct.
And that's kind of what's happened with Ryan Presley is he's underappreciated by the mass populace. Is that fair to say?
Absolutely.
Yeah, obviously, people that pay attention are very, very impressed with Ryan Presley. But he's not even almost a household name amongst the casual Astros fan, I would say, which is a shame. We need to do, maybe we need to have a, you know what we need? Ryan Presley t-shirts. That
maybe.
Should be our prize. We should give people Ryan Presley t-shirts. Every time some little kid says something about Altuve, I'll be like, listen, you little chump, do you even know this squad? Talk to me about Ryan Presley.
He is the fire extinguisher that I think this bullpen desperately needed 2 years ago, last year when they finally brought him in. And that they have him, he is worth every single penny.
Yes.
And I don't know if we talk about him the way we talk about Elvis. I don't know what Elvis noise makes, but whenever...
Why would you be doing that?
Because his last name is Presley, much like Elvis Presley, and whenever Ryan Presley comes into the game, I feel like it's over. I do feel confident that he's the guy, of all the guys in the Astros bullpen, that can get it done. I don't feel that with Osuna. I don't really feel that with anyone else. My guy Josh James is struggling too.
Yes.
But Presley's the guy.
I mean, he's been so tremendous this season because he has the combination of excellent velocity with great off-speed stuff. If you ask me to pick one guy, if I need a couple outs to save my season, right now for me it's Ryan Presley. And the answer is yes. Ryan Presley right now is the most underappreciated excellent athlete in this city. That is how well he is performing right now. The Astros with a day off today, they'll play Seattle on the road against a team that's been really good, Seattle, against weak competition so far. Next headline, two NBA legends playing their final games last night. Chris Paul was actually on hand to watch Dwayne Wade get a triple-double and a heat loss in Brooklyn, while Dirk Nowitzki finishes a 21-year career with a 20-10 effort in a loss to the San Antonio Spurs. Who did you guys like more, D-Wade or Dirk?
Dwayne Wade was one of my least favorite players in the NBA for a period of time, especially after he dislocated Rajon Rondo's elbow after Rondo had the audacity to steal the ball from him once in a Celtics Heat playoff game. I've never liked Dwayne Wade. I thought that his farewell tour was tiresome and annoying. But Dirk Nowitzki I was a big fan of, especially when he took down that Miami Heat team led by LeBron James and Dwayne Wade in the 2011 NBA Finals. So Dirk.
Yeah,
Dirk.
And I think the fact that Dirk did it versus a super team, on a team that shouldn't have been able to beat a super team. It's interesting because Dirk is the player that I disliked more during his active career. And I've kind of counted Dirk out the last couple of years. In my brain, he was already gone because he was obviously just there as like a, he's almost there as an ambassador or something to take you through this rough stretch. But if I think about it, I'm like, all right, which guy would I rather have on my team for 15 to 20 years? For one, I'd like the guy that stayed with the same team for 15 or 20 years, Dirk Nowitzki, 21 years.
Wade almost did in his defense. He almost did until the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, and it's been
a weird last few seasons. Bulls, Cleveland, people forget about just the weird stuff that's gone on.
I'll get into Dwayne Wade a little bit more in Moveset's Needle and why he's not.
Okay.
Why he on my list of Dirk Nowitzki or Dwayne Wade, why he loses to Dirk.
I'm going to go with Wade. I never rooted for Dirk really at any points. I started rooting for Miami the second time around with LeBron.
Ugh.
Because I just felt like I really had no dog in the fight.
Sell your soul.
I know. I just felt like LeBron was getting so much criticism.
Yes, rightfully so.
No, but people were saying things in 2012 like, you got to take Durant over LeBron. And I'm like, hold on a second. The pendulum swung way too far. So I started rooting for Miami to win those championships. And, you know, watching Wade play, he's somebody who, like, he was always there when you needed to make big baskets. He was a clutch performer. I think some people overrate Wade when it comes to history because when it came to Miami with just Dwayne Wade, they never had all that much success. He needed Shaq and he needed LeBron, but when he had those guys and he needed those guys, he absolutely came through in the clutch, a three-time NBA Finals champion.
I'm still butthurt about his flopping antics in those series between the Celtics and Heat. And on top of that, the one time where he slapped Rondo in the face on a last-second layup and it wasn't called in Game 2 of the 2012 Eastern Conference Finals. Celtics win that series if that play gets called.
Well, this is the whole problem. And this is this is going to be my first item in Moveset's Needle, but I'll just do this here now. I got so tired of every damn year in the playoffs. Wow. Dwayne Wade is injured. Oh, why is he even going to be able to make it?
He's
next
like Roethlisberger.
Game? Oh, is this Dwayne Wade's last year? He's so freaking dramatic to the point where now he's retiring. I thought he was done like 6 years ago because every time he had a little tweak of the knee, it was this potential disaster. Oh my gosh, he can barely walk. And then the next night, it wasn't like he was out hobbling around. He was bouncing around like a 17-year-old. It was just so much false and fake drama that I lost respect for him. Like, I respect him as a basketball player. I lost respect for him as like a tough individual. And it was too much. I couldn't take it anymore.
You're so right.
He should have been done five. But by the amount of drama they attached to his supposed struggles with his knees, he should have been done 6 years ago. And yet he plays on into his elderly, by NBA standards, stage of his life. And I was so sick of it. I was so tired of it by the end.
You're so right. And while it is definitely correct to think it's ridiculous that Paul Pierce is better than Dwayne Wade, I mean, people make fun of Paul Pierce for not being tough because of the whole wheelchair thing. Paul Pierce got like stabbed 11 times once. Dwayne Wade is one of the most like forgotten floppers that we've had in the NBA over the last 20 years. No one ever talked about.
Getting stabbed doesn't actually require all that much toughness. Stabbing somebody.
He did recover, though.
That's just gross. I watch these shows and I'm like, oh, stabbing somebody. Ew.
Oh, yeah.
Ew.
Game of Thrones, especially.
The thought of actually stabbing somebody.
Blood.
Mike, Seth, and Paul on a Thursday at 7 o'clock. What if the Texans shock the world with what they do at number 23? Time now for Move Seth's Needle.
I'll go to the exact opposite of what we were just talking about, which was in the women's national championship game, Baylor versus Notre Dame. Lauren Cox, who like destroyed her knee midway through the game. It was one of those ugly buckling forward types of things. It looked disgusting. Then on the sidelines for the rest of the game, she came back out with a heavy brace, and she was like so excited that she was hopping around on one leg to get over to the team huddle. She had to be restrained by her teammates. So I just want a tip of the cap to Lauren Cox and Baylor, who gutted that game out after they lost their best player and just managed to squeak out a win versus a very good Notre Dame team. That was really cool to watch and see. I highly encourage people to watch the women's national championship.
I actually regret not having watched that game.
Yeah.
It seems like it was a terrific finish.
Watching the whole tournament, especially if you're like, you're honestly doing yourself a disservice if you're sitting around watching two teams that you don't care about, like in the men's game, while there's like a high ranked women's game going on, because it's like there's some really good high drama there. And especially now that UConn's not just abusing and lording over everybody, there's some actual intrigue in the women's game. So good for Baylor, good for Lauren Cox, proud of all of you. This is an interesting conundrum that's come up now that the playoff schedule is out, which is Game of Thrones, of which I'd say what, maybe like 60% of our listeners are fans of. Game of Thrones,
I'd hope,
final season, 8 p.m. on Sunday night.
Yes.
Rockets, 8:30 p.m.
Home game.
Sunday night. Home game. You almost wish it was an away game, because then you don't have to wear. If you're going to the game, you're not going to be able to watch Game of Thrones. But you're also, I feel like this might be one of the hardest series since social media came out to avoid spoilers. Like, is somebody going to go to the game, watch the Rockets game? You're going to have to stay away from even talking to people that weren't also at that game with you until like maybe after the workday on Monday. You might have to take Monday morning off.
It's a really rough conundrum, and it's at the point where I try to make it to every Rockets home playoff game I can. I've been fortunate enough to go to almost all of them since I moved to Houston. I'm probably going to stay home on Sunday because there's no way to combine these two things. I think I need to watch Game of Thrones, DVR the Rockets, watch that.
That's the way.
Because otherwise, if I go to the game, I don't have time in between these two things to watch Game of Thrones. And I'm going to be sitting here Monday, and I'll be unable to read our great text line because I'll be too nervous about spoilers.
Yeah, Ocho spoiled it for me after the Red Wedding not too long. Oh, no, when King Joffrey.
Yeah, that.
After King Joffrey got done.
I will never forget that.
Ocho spoiled it for me on the text line.
I will
never,
ever forget
that.
I
almost tore that damn studio up that day. I challenged Ocho to a duel.
I
would have come down here.
The text line is a dangerous thing when it comes to these giant pop culture things that take place, whether it's the Avengers movies, Star Wars, which I had spoiled for me.
Yeah.
On the text line, I had spoiled that, spoiler alert, Han Solo died in The Force Awakens, which just devastated me because I knew, okay, well, this person who had texted in a lot was definitely telling the truth when he said that. But for Mike, the approach that you have is the correct one. My frustration when I go to Rockets games is that you end up, because of the setup, you end up very high up, and More importantly, I like to be able to watch the game along with everybody, which means tweeting. And I think it might be just my phone. I can never get internet there. So
these are really first world problems, but they are problems.
It's a first world problem.
We're on a sports radio. Our whole show in existence is a first world problem.
This
we're
is
talking
true.
About sports for 4 hours. Like, what are we gonna be like? No, listen. I know it's sports radio, but I want to talk about the suffering in Syria right now. Okay, for 4 more hours.
This is one of those games that I would rather watch at my apartment than I would watch in person. If it's Warriors, okay, I feel the need to be there, you know?
Yeah.
I'm one of those people, like, ooh, it's an event. I'm going to show up for this so everyone can see me in my fancy outfit.
This has been, you want to talk about, like, rich people problems. Just the Astros and the Rockets have had games on simultaneous days enough in the last couple weeks that it's been kind of exhausting. There's been like 8 hours of viewing between baseball and basketball.
First world problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not
so
afraid
much.
Of it. I would highly encourage everybody to do this. Just get yourself your HBO Go downloaded. It's really simple. It works really well. And just stay up after the Rockets game and watch it there if you're going to the game. And you, Mike, you can do that. It's right there on your – you can just sit – you can go to the game in person and then just immediately, like, put earplugs in, go out to your car, and watch in your car.
Well, here's the minor problem with that. 8:30 start time.
Yeah.
The game's gonna end at 11. Our show begins at 6. I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna go to bed at like 2 a.m. I'll be exhausted on Monday.
Youth and stimulants are on your side. That's all you have to worry about. I don't want to hear this complaining. Well, you got a sick, got a sick baby at home or something? Just operate on 3 hours of sleep and roll in here, like a cock of the walk.
I don't like this
you
idea.
Could sleep at the station like I used to do.
yeah.
Real quick, Jonesy, for our listeners that didn't know, and I've realized we don't talk enough like. Jonesy anymore. Jonesy's getting married in about a month.
Very exciting.
So, and I want to say, Jonesy, I was impressed yesterday. We talked to you about whether you're getting nervous or not. Like, not a shred of nervousness or apprehension on this. Jonesy knows exactly what he's doing. And he's lived long enough that I can tell this, Jonesy. I want to tell you, I've been impressed by how you've gone through the process. You've seen enough friends go through it, and you know that as a man, and this is our advice to the youngsters out there, as a man, it's not important that you actually make decisions in the wedding process, planning process. It's important that you act like you care about the decision that's made. Does that make sense? It doesn't matter.
You're right.
Yeah. You need to listen. You need to say, oh, I see. Oh, fuchsia. Sure. Yeah, that's great. Oh, is that your choice? Oh, no. Oh, okay. I get it. Cream. But now, whatever it is, Belgian cream or whatever. Yes.
I want to
yes.
make some decisions.
What's that?
I want to make some decisions.
Well, okay. Well.
I want to make like 4 decisions.
What decisions?
You say
what?
That. Now, you don't understand how many decisions there are.
Cake, food, mostly of the food variety.
Cake, yes. Cake is the only decision I'd want to make. Cake is it. That's
yeah,
it.
Well, let me tell you right now.
You can have everything else, honey.
Okay. What are you going to do when your decision is the wrong decision?
Paul Gallant is a dessert expert.
You yield.
I'm picky. If it's chocolate, sorry, wedding's off.
Jonesy, have you made any decisions?
Yeah, I made like one decision, but she asked me, what about this? What about this? And I'll give my answer, and she goes, okay, we're going the other way.
Yeah.
Every time.
And you need to like feign mild disappointment, but then be like, oh yeah. And I'm not saying to be fake or lie or anything. Just understand it. They want you to be a part of the process, but that they don't actually value your opinion. They think they do, but they don't. Just be a part of the process.